As an adult and a mom of a son, both with ADHD, I know navigating the expectations of life with ADHD can be a challenge. But finding the right care and proper tools needed to succeed can be life-changing. With the right resources, you can turn your ADHD into your superpower. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD, online visits, refills, and a 24/7 care team made for you. Starting to take care of your ADHD is as easy as 1, taking a 1-minute free assessment to see if Done can help. 2, booking an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as today or tomorrow. 3, start receiving ongoing care, enjoy online visits, personalized treatment plan, worry-free refills, and 24/7 care. Take a free 1-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn your ADHD into your strength. This episode is sponsored by By Heart. By Heart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, By Heart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. By Heart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. By Heart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code PARENTING for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. Welcome to the Your Village podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline. Your Village is the most comprehensive site for evidence-based parenting classes available on demand at yourvillageonline.com. Our 50-plus classes give parents the foundation, steps, and tools for creating strong, healthy relationships with their children, resulting in responsible, cooperative, happy, and successful children and families. My goal is to help parents support their children in finding and reaching their own unique potential. The podcast is a place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm Your Village founder and your host, Erin Royer. Hello, everyone. So I've got two questions today, as usual. The first one is about a 6-year-old who gives up easily, and mom wants to know how to help her son build some more persistence and perseverance. The second is about a preschooler calling names. How do we deal with that? But first, I have decided to start producing more video tips that I'm going to be posting to the Your Village YouTube channel and my Instagram page. I was doing this a while ago. I know people really loved it, and it just was a lot. I'm like, I don't need one more thing to do, but it really is time to pick this back up. I know it's really helpful. I really enjoy doing it. So I'm going to get back to that. So for the YouTube channel, you can either just look up Your Village, do a search for Your Village. I'm about the 8th video down. Or you can go directly to youtube.com/C/YourVillageSantaClarita. I had to use my location. So it's Your Village Santa Clarita to find the page directly. And you can subscribe to see the video tips as soon as they are posted. If Instagram is more your thing, you can find me at IronMom2020. So I'm really excited to start bringing these quick 5-minute tip videos on all kinds of topics: getting and staying organized as a busy family, tantrum prevention tips, power struggle tips, getting kids to do their chores and help out and just generally do what you ask them without their complaining and pushback, school and homework tips, you name it. And I would love to know what tips you would like to hear about. So I'll be starting with 2 video posts a week, and I'm going to work my way up to 5 a week. I'm probably going to shoot them all at once and then post them throughout the week. So this is an opportunity to get your tips up and going and answered quickly, because you will be in early on the queue. For now, we'll have you send them to amy@yourvillageonline.com. Just let her know it's an idea for video tips. My new iPad arrives tomorrow, so I'm going to get a couple videos up this week. So now on to the questions. The first question is from Jennifer. She wrote, "Hello, I hope this is where I can send in a question, and I do hope you will consider addressing it on your podcast. My name is Jennifer. I'm from Nova Scotia, Canada. I love it. I have lots of Canadian parents on my website and listening. Love it. Parents all over the world. It's awesome. I've been an avid listener for so, and I've been to Nova Scotia. I used to work for a company. I was back when I did computer work. I was a computer science major. I don't know if I've talked about that much on the podcast, but my bachelor's degree is in computer science. I worked for a company that did geographic information system software, and I was one of the programmers for that. And so I would work with clients who would buy our software, and one of my big clients, my main clients, was in Nova Scotia, Canada. I got to go up there for a week and work with this group of amazing engineers and see Nova Scotia, which was just a beautiful, beautiful part of the world. So I have great memories of Nova Scotia, have not been back since. Okay, on to the rest of Jennifer's question. I've been an avid listener for some time now and always find your podcast so helpful. On one podcast you mentioned most of your questions come from parents of younger age children, and you do have extensive experience with older children as well. So I hope this will be of interest to you. The questions are always of interest to me, just so you guys know. I try to answer every question that comes in, but we do have a little bit of a backlog. But, I get so many questions on bedtimes and aggression in young toddlers and preschoolers, because those are just what a lot of parents deal with. But I love all questions, kids of all ages. I think the whole development process is really interesting and intriguing, and it's just fun to watch them through each stage. So Jennifer's question, I'm getting on a lot of tangents today, aren't I? My son is 6 years old and in grade 1. Developmentally, he has always achieved the milestones right on the cusps. Walking at 15 months, talking by 23, etc. So not late, but right near the cusps. Since a young baby, his father and I always encouraged him, constantly trying to build up his self-esteem and confidence. But since a young toddler, he was always so cautious to try things, despite us never showing negative reactions to his efforts and attempts. This has carried on through childhood. He tries to ride a bike, but refuses to take his training wheels off because he's afraid to fall. He's been in swimming lessons, skating, baseball, and in each activity, he will put in minimal effort, fall down, not be able to swim or bike, and then get so upset and discouraged and sad. It breaks my heart, and I'm at a loss on how to help him. School has always been fine, but this week his teacher spoke to us about him being distracted and not putting in effort and with his writing. She talked to him about being a capable student, but he didn't want to try. I'm very concerned how this lack of effort or fear of failure will evolve as he grows. Another example, we were playing Mario Kart and he came in 3rd and had a full-on meltdown crying because he was so upset he didn't come in 1st. This is basically the mentality behind every other activity. Please, do you have any advice on how to support our son in this situation? Sincerely, Jennifer. So I talk a lot about persistent children because this personality type seems to be more prevalent, and parents are often asking about how to deal with their children who are constantly pushing and not giving up. But there are kids and people on the opposite end of this who are low in persistence, who give up easily. There are 2 pieces to this. One, it can be an inborn temperament trait, which is definitely what Jennifer is seeing. The other is a mindset, and while it can be shaped or influenced by temperament, mindset is also not so much learned. Kids don't necessarily learn a fixed mindset, but it may just be kind of part of who they are, but a growth mindset is definitely a learned trait. In either case, there are things that you can do to help your child. A less persistent child can learn to stick with tasks longer, as well as we can help children develop a more of a growth mindset. So I'm going to start with the temperament trait of low persistence. Now remember, when it comes to these traits, we definitely can help our children become more persistent, more flexible. express their emotions more appropriately without falling apart, and they can get better control over these emotions. But we will never be able to make a child who is the complete opposite to go all the way to the opposite end of the spectrum. So a child who's really low in persistence is never going to be a highly persistent person. A child who has a low activity level is never going to be a highly active person who's always moving, always on the go, always wants to do something, that type of thing. But we can move them along the scale closer to the middle and help them develop those skills. So a less persistent child may have trouble finishing tasks, but on the positive side, they do tend to be good at multitasking. They also tend to give up on toys or tasks that are too complicated, difficult, or uninteresting for them. So here are some things that you can do. And this is from the class on temperament, because persistence is one of the 9 traits that I cover in that class. So for family and home, in the class I divide it into 4 sections. The first is family and home. So what you want to do with a child who's low in persistence is you want to work on chores and activities together. This way you can encourage your child through the process. You can see how much they can handle at one time, and then you can slowly increase your expectations over time. They can get a little frustrated, but if they start to fall apart or they're getting to that brink of falling apart, you want to stop for the day or for 20 minutes, give them a break, that type of thing, whether it's with chores, with homework. So here's an example about cleaning the room. So if you just say, go clean your room, they might take one look at it, feel completely overwhelmed, fall apart. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. This is too hard. This is too overwhelming. They're not going to be able to tackle that task. So they'll give up. Or they might pick up 1 or 2 pieces of clothing and just stop. So working with your child through the process. Let's work on your room together. Okay, let's start with the clothes. I'm going to help you. Let's pick them all up and put them on the bed. Then you do this together. Then you go through the clothes together. Now let's see which ones are clean enough and which ones are dirty. So you're going to just teach your child through the whole process. You're going to tell them underwear always go in the hamper, but let's check your shorts and t-shirts together. You're going to teach your child what to look for dirty and clean. You're going to teach your child how to smell the clothes. You're going to teach your child how to check the clothes for stains. Now this is going to take some time, right? Once they get to the point where they're checking it themselves, you're going to double check it and just make sure and then point it out. I think you did a really good job with this, with these 3 pieces of clothes, but these 2 pieces of clothes, I see some stains on here, so let's make those the dirty ones. The other thing children will do, as many of you know, is they're going to stick them all in the dirty, right? They're all going to go in the dirty clothes because they don't want to have to fold them, because once they learn, oh, I have to fold them, then everything's going to be dirty. So there's a couple ways to circumvent that. Number one is with my kids, they have to do their own laundry. They don't wash them, but they put them all in the dirty clothes. But once they come out, they then have to fold them. So they have to fold them anyway, whether they're folding them now or folding them later, they have to fold all their own clothes. Now we started that once they were 8. They were folding their own clothes when they came out of the laundry. We'd put it in a pile for them. They fold them and put them away. So that's one way, because by the time they're 8, that's about when they're going to be doing this by themselves anyway, once they're fully capable and understanding of the whole room cleaning process. So you have them divided into clean and dirty. You have your child take the dirty ones to the hamper. Super easy to pick up the pile. They take them to the hamper and dump them in. That's something they can do. Now you can teach your child how to fold the laundry, what's left. Now, if they're really young, 5 or 6, it's up to you if you want to start trying to teach that yet. Fold the laundry, they can put it away in the drawer, right? So, you decide when you're ready to start having your child start folding their own laundry. Then you can assess where your child's mindset is. If they seem to be hanging in there in a decent mood, you can then go to the next thing. Books, toys, whatever it is, trash on the floor. If they're barely holding it together, if you can see you're kind of pushing their patience, you're pushing their mood, you could finish up for the day and say, okay, tomorrow we're going to work on the books and we'll organize those together. Tomorrow we're going to pick up the trash. Tomorrow, you get the idea. Over time, your child will then learn what to do and be able to do more and more on their own. So this is the scaffolding process I've talked about in the past. You're going to give them the support they need to get the tasks done, and then you're going to slowly step away, giving them less and less support because they're going to be able to take on more and more on their own. With a child who's low in persistence, this is going to take a longer time, some more support over time as you slowly pull away that support structure. And that's okay. This is just what they need in this particular area. But there's going to be other areas that child is going to be amazing and you won't have to support them so much. The next thing is you want to remember to be and to encourage other family members to be patient, just like I was talking about. Be patient with their process. Be patient with their learning. Be patient with them being able to take on more and more on their own. When you are patient, it will give you guys the time and the connection to help with this process and help it develop better. This is just one of your child's struggles. We all have different struggles, but this just happens to be theirs, and patience as you work with them to learn to stick with tasks and will help your child have more patience with him or herself. You want to offer to help complete a project such as building a fort, a train track, or a block city. Then when they complete it, you can give positive feedback. Look at the cool fort we built together. We worked on this for half an hour. That was very persistent. For school and learning, this is the second area I cover in the class. You want to find a program. Now, this is going to either be for your preschooler, or if you have a kid who's already in formal education like Jennifer, then an extracurricular activity that encourages process art, where experiencing the material and the process is more important than making something specific. Honestly, I think this is important for any child of any temperament to have this kind of opportunity, because kids who are super goal-oriented also need to learn to sit back and enjoy the process and not be so focused on the end product. So it's great for any child. For your low and persistence child, set goals together. Establish timelines for completing each step, as well as the final goal. So you're going to help them break down bigger goals. So when it comes to homework or projects, you're going to break them down into smaller tasks. If you have a child low in persistence, a six-year-old, one single page of math work may feel overwhelming to them. You may need to break that down. Okay, we're going to do the top third of the page now. We're going to take a break, have a snack. We're going to come back, do the second third of the page. Then after dinner, we're going to finish the last part. And then the next time you can divide it in half. So maybe do the thirds for the first couple weeks. Then you can divide it in halves, and then you can start helping them get all the way through one full sheet of math in one sitting. And it won't feel so overwhelming, helping them break it down and then build up their persistence on that piece. Other thing you could do for school and learning is, and again, this is for parents of preschoolers, but you can do this in elementary years. That's ask your teacher to encourage your child to complete simple activities. You can let the teacher know that this is something your child struggles with, that when they get too much work all at once, that it's overwhelming for them, and have the teacher break it down. Instead of giving your child a whole packet of math, have the teacher give your child one page at a time, that type of thing. The temperament class covers two more areas for working in each of the nine traits, activities and leisure, and guidance and discipline, but I also want to get to talking about the growth mindset as well, plus the next question on children engaging in name calling. So if you want to learn more about a highly persistent child, a child low in persistence, or any of the other eight traits and how to support your child's growth in these areas, see the class on temperament at yourvillageonline.com. Now, before I cover the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset and the question about name calling, it's time to hear a few words from our episode sponsor. To me, there is nothing more important than my family's health and well-being. We all know the quality of the air in our home is important. But did you know indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air? I've got to tell you about Puro Air. In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room. Puro Air uses a stronger filter called a HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT. In laboratory studies, users saw noticeably cleaner air in just 30 minutes. When it comes to babies and children, there's nothing worse than dealing with a cranky baby or child who can't sleep because of congestion. Air purifiers can help reduce congestion and improve immune system function to fight those winter colds and flus. I use my Puro Air purifiers to clean the air in my home, especially in our bedrooms while we sleep. It has a quiet, relaxing hum and cleans the air from pet dander, allergens, viruses, dust, mold, odors, and contaminants. It has four levels: low, medium, high, and sleep, and four different timer options so you can customize it to your home and your needs. Check out Puro Air at getpuroair.com. That's GetPuroAir.com. Puro Air is the only air filter that uses a HEPA 14 filter. That's getpuroair.com. These later years of childhood have been flying by. As a mom, I want to not just be available to my kids during these last years they have at home, but I want to feel good and have the energy I need to keep up with their schedule and my own. So my health is a top priority. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. You're not alone on your wellness journey. Every customer gets one-on-one support to help you meet your goals. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. A healthy gut positively impacts immunity, mental health, sleep, digestion, and skin health. It helps regulate digestion, immunity against bad bacteria, and improve nutrient absorption. The gut has been called the second brain because it contains more than 100 million nerve cells. It is a vitally important piece to our overall health, both physical and mental. So to make sure my gut is working at its potential, I started taking EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense to improve my digestion and nutrition absorption, boost my overall immune health, and help with sleep and stress as a bonus. Head to myeq.com and use code PARENTING for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code PARENTING at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Now that we're back after the break, I'm going to share more about the growth mindset versus fixed mindset and the question about name calling. I've covered growth mindset in a couple of previous episodes, but I'll reiterate some of it here because teaching a growth mindset is another way of helping kids with this stuck mindset. Growth mindset is something that can be taught. Interestingly, research shows that it is not something that is just picked up simply through modeling. So if you have parents with a growth mindset, unless it's specifically taught to their children, they're likely not going to pick it up. It actually needs to be explicitly taught. So this is a great thing for all of us parents to know and to help our children work on. And for to work on ourselves too, right? We all probably struggle with this sometimes. So a fixed mindset is when someone believes that their intelligence is innate. It's fixed. It's a matter of genetics. Now, a six-year-old isn't going to sit there and think like, my intelligence is a matter of genetics, but they'll have the same type of thought, but in a different way. They'll think that way with their talents, right? I'm just not smart enough. I'm just not good at math. I'm just not good at writing. I'm not a good reader because they see other kids around them reading super fast. So they just think that innately they're just not as smart or as good or as talented as the other kids. They're fixed and cannot be developed. You have it or you don't. You're naturally smart or you're not. Nothing you can do will improve that. The focus is on the outcome. And then some kids will be really good at certain things and they'll be super talented and super gifted. But then in other areas, they have a really hard time and they struggle. So for them, they have that same thought process. So then they come up with this idea that effort is for those without talents. It's for those who have deficiencies. So if they're super great at math and it comes super easily to them, those other kids aren't as smart as me. That they have to work at it because they don't have the talent. But then they'll come up against something that's difficult for them and then they think, well, I don't have the talent for this part. So there's no point in trying. They think that risks and efforts reveal inadequacies. So if I have to work at something, if I have to take a risk at doing something, then I must not be very good at it. If I try and then I fail, what does that say about me? With a fixed mindset, it means I'm less than those who succeed or do better than me. It becomes personal. I'm a failure rather than I failed. On the other side, the growth mindset people, they think intelligence is fluid. It can improve with effort and knowledge. Effort brings accomplishment. They focus on the journey. They value what they're doing. They love tackling problems, and the journey is deeply meaningful to them, so the effort is validated. It's okay to keep working because I'm learning and I'm growing, and if this doesn't work out, I'm going to find another way. I'm going to try to figure this out. Failure means an opportunity to learn from mistakes and work harder or differently the next time. It's not personal. I'm not a failure. I just need to figure this out. It's a matter of effort and change. Now, can anyone be an Einstein? No. Growth mindset doesn't mean we're all equal. Some people do need to work harder. Some have more talent in one area or another, but that's not an excuse to give up. Even though change is possible, it doesn't tell you how much change is possible or how long it will take. It also doesn't mean that everything that can change should. It is important to accept imperfections, especially those that do not harm our lives or those of others. But with a growth mindset, we also believe that success and intelligence are cultivated through effort, that our true potential is unknown or unknowable, which is just a really amazing way to face the world. And just to give a little bit of my own story is when I was building this business, I really didn't know what I was doing. And I went through a lot of struggles with my own self-esteem about if I could do this, if I had what it took. Other people were just better at business than me. You know, I just don't seem to know how to do this. You hear about all these overnight successes. And I just thought, wow, they're just smarter than me. They're just better than me. This just isn't something I should be doing. And it took a lot for me to face myself down and just say, no, you know what? You're going to have to work. It's just not going to come that easily. You're going to have to face yourself. You're going to have to figure out what you're not doing the best that you can. You're just going to have to keep figuring out a better way to help people understand what you're offering, to help people understand how great your classes are, to help people understand how much you really know and understand. You're going to have to figure that out, and you're going to have to stop letting every little thing that gets in your way take a big chunk out of your self-esteem. So that's a process I had to go through. And I still do. I still have to face that down sometimes. So if we can teach our kids to do this, if I had had this going into adulthood, that would have been an amazing gift for me. So I just think that's an incredible thing to teach our kids. And some kids are going to pick it up easier than others, and some are going to struggle, and they're going to fight us on it. But this is a great, great thing to be teaching them. So this answer is getting a little long, not just because I went off on my anecdotes. So I did want to get in a couple tips for working on this, but I also want to get to the next question. So one way to work on growth mindset is through encouragement, or what I also call descriptive praise versus evaluative praise. This is focusing on their effort rather than the outcome. It helps them build that intrinsic motivation, their interest in the process. So this is when you describe what your child has done or is doing, and then you label it. So especially for things they might normally struggle with, and you want to point out the improvement. So you finished the math sheet without taking a break. That was persistent, right? We're talking about getting through the whole math sheet. So breaking it down into thirds and then halves and then finally through the whole thing. When your child finally gets to the point where they're doing the whole thing, you definitely want to give positive feedback. If they're doing better this week than last week you could only do one third at a time. Today you only had to divide it in half. That was persistent. You really want to notice their progress and their improvement. Last week you needed some help with the puzzle, but this week you finished it all by yourself. That was independent. Again, you could use persistent, either of those. You don't want to be patronizing or doing it over every little thing. Wow, you finished a math problem. You're so persistent, right? That's a little bit too much, but you want it always to be genuine. It lets your child know what traits you find admirable and how they embody that trait, and that they're also going to get feedback from doing something positive. Now, the opposite of that is the evaluative praise, which is lots of pats on the back. You got an A. Great job. I'm so proud of you. You're amazing. That was the best essay I've ever read. You are so smart. This teaches kids to perform for the accolades, not for the process of learning and improving. So you really want to work on the encouragement and stay away from that evaluative praise where you're evaluating their efforts, right? For more ways on building a growth mindset, now there was an episode I did not too long ago. I think it was in the last couple months. So you can go back and listen through some of those. Try to find that one because I went into some other ways to do that. Also the class on yourvillageonline.com about teaching a growth mindset. Also a couple of related classes you might find interesting are Raising Responsible Kids. Helps kids take ownership of themselves, of their own skills, of their own life as they age. What you should be expecting out of your child by age. Also Chores and Allowance and the self-esteem classes. There's self-esteem from 0 to 5 and then 5+, which covers lots of ways of working on kids' self-esteem so that it's internal, so that it comes from an internal place of they're proud of themselves rather than looking for an external feedback on how well they've done. The next question is from Nina. It's about name calling and when and how to step in. So she wrote, I have two questions. One, what is your take on name calling? My 4-year-old son calls his friends silly names like Poo Poo Head, Fart Man, and Banana Head. They all have a laugh and names get exchanged between one another. Sometimes my son would try it on an adult and the grandparents. The adults just smile and ignore it. Should I step in every time? 2. More recently, a friend of my son called my son baby names like, "You're a big baby, you cry like a baby, you silly baby," after a disagreement between the two. Sometimes it gets to him and he calls baby names back. "I'm not a baby, you're a baby." And sometimes he scratches and hurts because he's mad. At times, I'm in shock and I don't know what to do. I just pull him away and I struggle to find words to coach him. What should I do when I myself can't control my anger? Any advice would be appreciated. Thank you, Nina. And this is a great question. And we've talked about aggression in other ways, but name calling can be aggression, but this isn't necessarily the case in what I'm seeing here. Sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. So we're going to differentiate that. So there's not a hard and fast rule for this. It's going to be situational because of that. Is it an aggressive nature or is it just being silly? It seems his intention is really to just be funny and silly, so that doesn't really warrant any need to step in. Also, just so you know, potty talk is really big during this age. And so that's why they're all laughing together, right? They just think the potty talk is the funniest thing in the world. So here's the other part. If the other child is upset by it, then we want to step in. So in that first instance, it really sounds like everybody's just having a good time and they're all being silly and exchanging these silly names. I would definitely just let it go because they're going to just grow out of it eventually, but they're all having a good time. They all think it's funny. Nobody's feelings are hurt. They're just being silly and having fun. So I think it's totally fine to ignore it and just let it happen. It's just the way they're playing. Now, if the other child is upset, like in the case with your son, then you want to step in and help the other child or your child by setting some boundaries around it. If the other child is ignoring or just saying, "Yeah, well, you're an apply doo-doo face," and they seem to be having a good time and nothing's ratcheting up, ignore it and let it go. But if you hear it getting more heated, if it's starting to ratchet up to the next level, they cross the line, or you can tell it might possibly turn to something physical, that's when you want to step in. So let's use the example of your son was then the one that was being called names that he didn't like it. You could tell he didn't like it. And then he's starting to resort to doing something physical like grabbing or pinching or hitting. So if you start to hear it ratchet up, you want to try to get in there before that happens. Try to step in because you can kind of hear it. And you're like, okay, I can tell this isn't going to go well. You want to get in there as quickly as possible. You want to coach your son how to tell his friend he doesn't like being called names. So you want to coach him to use his words first. And then you can coach both children through the conversation. So it might look like this. "Colton, it sounds like Jacob isn't enjoying this kind of play. He's not enjoying being called names." Then you can help your son tell his friend, "Jacob, how can you let Colton know you don't like the way he's playing using your words?" Then what you can do is you can help your son form a few sentences to share his displeasure. By an adult stepping in and setting the boundary first, it really should help curb that behavior because the other child realizes, okay, when I do this, an adult is going to step in and it isn't just going to be able to be let go and let the other child get upset, that someone's going to come in and stop us from doing this. So they're going to think more about it in the future before doing that. And it may take a couple of reminders, but usually one or two reminders is going to be enough. And this should definitely deflate the situation so the boys can get back to playing more agreeably. If it happens a second time, you step in, coach again. But you can also set a boundary that if it happens again, "Colton, Jacob really isn't enjoying the name calling. It sounds like you two may need a break from each other today. So if it happens again, Jacob and I will need to go home and we can try again next week." It's not mean, it's not mad, it's just letting both of them know about the boundaries. And when children play together for a long time, they're getting a little tired, they're just not able to maintain the rules as well. It lets your son know he's allowed to set boundaries around what he does and doesn't like, that he doesn't need to stay and participate if he's not having fun. It also sets the same message to the other boy that maybe he'll be in that situation another time and he can learn that lesson too. Oh, it's okay for me to not stay and play with someone or to keep doing something if I'm not really enjoying it. It lets both boys know that other people may not always like the way they play. And if so, they may not want to stay. And that's okay. And it's good, actually. Kids can really get comfortable with each other and they get tired. So the behavior will just go downhill as the play date wears on. So it's okay to call it quits. Give everyone a chance for some quiet time, relax, recharge at home on their own, and then go back and do another play date next week. And as they keep practicing, they will get better and better at reading each other, at standing up for themselves, as you teach them how to work through it. So the class You're Developing Preschooler covers social development and coaching children through these social interactions, how they can join ongoing play. If there's a group of kids playing and your child wants to join, how do they go in and ask to join in a way that is most likely to get a yes, or just allow your child to come in and join that play? It doesn't give the other kids an opportunity to say no or go away. It also teaches you how to work on sharing, how to teach your kids about sharing, all those social skills that are really important, they're really developing during these preschool years. As far as controlling our own emotions, this is really something that takes patience with ourselves and practice, practice, practice. So things like looking at particular exchanges or parts of the day that are triggering for us. So whether it's getting ready in the mornings or bedtimes, those are really big ones for a lot of parents. Getting ready in the mornings because we're trying to get out the door. At least we used to be, but some of you are able to do that now. Trying to get out the door and our kids aren't listening, that tends to trigger a lot of parents. And bedtimes because it's been a long day and we're tired, our patience is down, that can trigger a lot of parents. So you want to look at what you're currently doing. You want to come up with new strategies. If you have a new strategy to go to and you have it ready, it's a lot easier to change the way we interact. So the class on power struggles actually has a worksheet for just this, about listing out those trouble exchanges, troubling times of the day, what you've been doing, because obviously if it's not going the way we want and it's a pattern, then it's not working. Okay, listing out those times of day, listing out those exchanges that often aren't going well. Because when we keep doing the same thing, we're going to get the same result. We know it's not working, right? So we have to find a new way. We have to take control of changing that pattern and that interaction. So that's what that worksheet does. It talks about the old ways and then the new ways. And then through the class, you go through the class on power struggles and you pick out the new strategies that work for you. You also can use that worksheet in the Peaceful Parenting Part 2 class, because the Peaceful Parenting Part 2 gives tons and tons and tons of tips and strategies for staying cool in those moments of chaos. And I put in every single possible strategy that I could come up with, because what works for me may not work for you. What works for you may not work for me, may not work in the situation, may not work with a particular child. So there are so many things to choose from that you can decide what you feel like is going to work. And so on that worksheet, you can put down like 1, 2, or even 3 different things you're going to try to see how it goes. Now, you don't want to try something and then it doesn't work. Then you try something, it doesn't work. You want to try something and stick with it and really give it a chance to work, because you know, when we change our behavior, it sometimes takes our children a little bit of time to catch up with us and go like, oh, okay, this is how this is going to go now, and to accept it. So those are some ways to work on keeping that cool during those stressful exchanges, staying in control, and being that peaceful leader for our families. Okay. All right, everybody. So don't forget to check out the YouTube channel, subscribe to get the new bi-weekly quick parenting tips that are going to be coming out starting this week. Again, you can just search for Your Village. The channel is about 8 videos down on the list, or you can go directly youtube.com/C as in cat/YourVillageSantaClarita. Also you can follow me on Instagram at IronMom2020. It's going to be a little easier for me to put these up on the YouTube channel. It's just easier to upload to YouTube than it is to Instagram. So they'll probably go up there first, but I will also get them onto the Instagram page as well, just trailing behind the YouTube channel a little bit. If you have a parenting question you'd like answered, send an email to podcast@yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.